Hello, this is Pastor Landis Fisher, pastor teacher of Straight Gate Ministries, and you're listening to the radio ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, which is Teaching Bible Radio. We're glad you've tuned to this station, and we hope you tune in at this same time each week to hear these messages coming to you. These messages are given to you as an excerpt, and the entire message is available free of charge online at teachingbible.org. You can reach us by telephone on our toll-free line at 1-877-35-BIBLE. That's 1-877-35-BIBLE. Or numerically, that is 1-877-352-4253. 1-877-352-4253. Please call us. Your support is crucial to the operation of this ministry. Or you can send us an email online if you like, at radio at teachingbible.org. Email to radio at teachingbible.org. No space, one long word, teachingbible.org. Or you can drop us a line in the mail to Teaching Bible Radio at P.O. Box 10123, St. Louis, Missouri, 63145. That's Teaching Bible Radio, P.O. Box 10123, St. Louis, Missouri, 63145. We'd be very glad to hear from you by mail, by internet, or even by telephone. Call us on the phone, leave a voicemail. And, of course, your donations, as we said, are crucial to the operation of this ministry. Today we're going to feature on the program a message called Yielding to Grace. And we want to ask the questions about grace versus works. There's the biggest conflicts in Christendom are over the fact of grace. Are we saved by grace alone or by grace plus works? And so these are the dividing lines in the Christian faith of doctrinal arguments that have been going on throughout the generations. So what we want you to know today, if you hear this message, that God has far more grace than we have sin. Nevertheless, it is the knowledge of His grace that empowers believers to learn to yield to His love and grace rather than to sin. And so that's what this message is about. So we want you to listen to it here today, just an excerpt from the message, Yielding to Grace. And this is from the book of Romans, the Paul's letter to the Romans. And you can hear the message in its entirety online at teachingbible.org. So we want you to be in touch with us. Let us know what you think of the program. Write us a letter with comments or constructive criticism, whatever it is that you desire. But listen carefully, because you're about to be entertained and taught in the Word of God. And this is Teaching Bible Radio.
This is Teaching Bible Radio.
Welcome to Teaching Bible Radio, the radio ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, St. Louis, Missouri, featuring pastor-teacher Landis Fisher, exploring your world through the Word of God. Let's join our teacher for another thought-provoking adventure from the Bible, which is available in its entirety online at teachingbible.org. Here's our teacher, Pastor Fisher.
And so basically, preachers don't do this. The church doesn't do this. We baptize with water, but like John says, I baptize you with water. He says, for repentance, but there's one coming after me who is mightier than I. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's what John told him over in Matthew and in Mark in the earlier parts of the Gospels. You see? And so he was talking about Jesus. He is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. He says, therefore, verse 4 of Romans 6, were you buried with him through baptism into death? And then it says that and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so. You see that? We also should walk in newness of life. So just as God raised Christ from the dead, that death should have no more dominion over him, you who believe in him have been immersed into his death, raised to walk in a newness of life. And so now we have to understand how we are to do that. Now notice, now look at verse 9. We're going to skip down. Actually, verse 7. He says here, actually 6 is what I want you to see. Once again, just for a little review, Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. See that? That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now the question is, and the fact is, that we are either slaves to sin or we are slaves to Christ. You have two choices. Everybody in the world is either a slave to sin or a slave to Christ. You see that? Now what we have to do is learn a new allegiance. You and I have been, who were lost, we were pretty dedicated to sin. We had no other choice. Sin was our master. It led us. It had its tyranny over us. It was in complete control of us. We yielded to it, didn't even know it. We were enslaved to sin. Once you get born again, once you are accepting the gospel, you understand it, you hear it, God gives you faith, you believe it, He baptizes you in the Holy Spirit, raises you up to walk in newness of life. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. He used that word, passed away, just like we talk about. When somebody dies, we say, oh, they passed away. You see, same thing. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Everything in life is new, just as though we were raised from the dead. So he says here, knowing that our old man was crucified with him. In other words, God had us associated with Christ even as he was crucified, so that our old sin, or the body of sin, might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now notice over here, he says, as we look on in verse number, let's look at verse number 12. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Now, you know what? Your spiritual man has been changed completely. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. You have the Spirit of God living in you. That old body is still there. The remembrance of all the sin of the past is still there. It's there. God doesn't take away your brain. He takes away your status, and he takes you out of Adam and puts you in Christ. You see that by faith and the working and the operation of God. And at that time, the old man spiritually has been crucified, raised from the dead, and you have a new resurrected you. As we said, you're raised to a new you. And that's what this chapter 6 is about, the parts that we've already studied, and some of this is review. So we have to learn. He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey its lust. So in other words, now you go to war with those impulses of sin that you have in your life. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. In other words, we now have a new allegiance, and we have to learn to yield to the grace of God. That's Romans 6 and 12. Now looking on, verse 13, and do not go on presenting your members, he says. See that? In other words, stop that. You have to stop some things that are in your life that are ungodly. Stop that. Don't do it anymore. He says, but learn to yield yourself to the righteous things that God has made in you now through the new birth that you have been born again. And yield your members, in other words, the parts of your body, your arms, your legs, your feet, your mouth, your eyes, your ears, and of the things that you do. In other words, allow your flesh now to serve God instead of serving sin, because you are no longer under the tyranny of sin, as he goes on to say, as those who are alive from the dead, and your members, he says here, as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Now we looked at that. He said you're not under the law, but you're under grace. You know what? If we were under the law, we would really be in trouble, because James 2:10 says if we violate God's law in one point, what? We're guilty of the whole law. So in other words, the only way we could be right by law is to keep the whole law from start to finish, from the womb to the tomb. See, and none of us have done that. So we'd be in big trouble if we had to be justified by law. So we can't start doing it now and get right either, because if we tried, first of all, you won't make it. Sad to say, we would not make it if we tried right now to do everything the law says. We would stumble some kind of way, you know. But the fact is, what can we do about sin? We already did. From yesterday and on back into we were born. You can't do anything about it. And so the fact is, God looks at everything on the eternal scale. You and I would not make it, not only us in this room, but no one on this earth can make it. And you see, a lot of the religions, most, in fact, let's say nearly all of the other religions, so-called, of the world, teach that people have to do something in order to satisfy God. And they don't teach that you can ever know for sure that you're saved. You know, Muslims have to pray so many times a day facing the east. I see them out there at the airport on blankets. I want to go up to them and tell them, don't you know that's the south? That's not the east? That you turned the wrong way and Allah is going to be mad? You know, and I don't say this jokingly, but if he says pray to the east and I'm looking at you and you're facing the south, I have a problem with that. If you think that's making you right with God. See? And I'm not trying to be funny or facetious. I see someone facing another direction. It's like, come on, you know, the book says the east. You need to get a compass then in order to know what you're doing if you're going to do it that way. Suppose you miss one time or two. You know, a lot of things about that, you're not going to be right and you're not going to come up right on judgment day. And God is going to be considered unrighteous if you don't do everything right and he accepts you. Because he said do it all right or else you're not going to make it. See? And so all these kind of things. Every other religion basically wants you to do something. Works plus something. It's not just God's grace. And true religion is the only one that says that salvation is completely by grace. And what God did was he allowed all the sin to fall upon the one man, his son, Jesus Christ. Just like one man caused the problem, Adam, as we said in the message called In Adam or in Christ, God sent one man to be the solution to the problem, Jesus Christ. He's the only way. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And so Paul asked the question, what shall we say then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? Same answer, no way, Jose, may it never be. Meganoita, the Greek says. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one who you obey? In other words, if you continue to sin, then you're submitting yourself to sin, and you're obeying sin and lust. He says, either sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. See, if you obey God, you'll do the right thing. If you keep on obeying sin, it will take you to death and a lot of other trouble in between now and then. So look here, in verse 17 says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching or doctrine, the old King James says, to which you were committed, he says here, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. So what it is, when we get saved, we have a new allegiance. We dedicate ourselves to God and to the truth and to righteousness and good things. And we turn away from evil things and things that will not glorify or honor God. Now, verse 19, he breaks it down a little. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. He says, I know this is a heavy load. Not just lay it on you. So let me break it down. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity, into lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness. We were going from bad to worse before we got saved. He says, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness. See that? Resulting in sanctification. So what he's talking about is the process of sanctification. Now we have to look at sanctification in a few different ways. First of all, is what I like to call, and many teachers call, positional sanctification. When you believe Christ, God himself takes you out of Adam and places you in Christ. And so your position has changed from dead in sin and trespasses in Adam to alive to God and righteous in Christ. And that's a forensic thing. It happens at the moment you believe the gospel. See? And God does it. He moves you from one kingdom into the kingdom of his beloved son, from the kingdom of darkness. You see that? So that's positionally we are sanctified already. But at the same time, he begins to teach us. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. He illuminates the Word so we can understand it. He gives us conviction. You need Christ.
Teaching Bible Radio is listener-funded radio. Write us at P.O. Box 10123, St. Louis, Missouri 63145. Call us toll-free 1-877-35-BIBLE. That's 1-877-352-4253. Or visit us online at teachingbible.org. A ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, St. Louis, Missouri.